I know what happened. Brother Brown spit in the thing. And he chewed the backer, so I know that's not good for it. But I'll just sit up here and gum around a minute while they fix that. I heard about all that stuff Brown said about me, but I'm not going to get bitter about it because I know stuff on him y'all don't know. Y'all don't need to know. Y'all don't want to know. But how many would agree with me, the man ain't got no sense? He's a good man, he just ain't got no sense. And I heard the other day that Snow White and Hercules and the Hunchback of Notre Dame all died at the same time. And Snow White said, I'm going to go in there and ask the Lord, am I the most beautiful person that's ever lived? And she come back out grinning and said, I'm her. Hercules said, I'm going to go in there and ask the Lord, am I the strongest man that's ever been alive? He come out grinning and said, I'm him. Well, that Hunchback of Notre Dame, that Hunchback of Notre Dame, oh boy, I get to use one of them holiness microphones tonight. Man, I feel like T.D. Jakes now, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to practice. Okay. And so that Hunchback of Notre Dame, he said, I'm going to go in there and ask the Lord, am I the ugliest man that's ever lived? He come back out, Brother Scott. He was just a-crying. They said, man, what are you crying about? He said, you ever heard of a man named Larry Brown? And you say, you just talk like that because he ain't here. Well, I'm going to be at his church here in a couple of weeks. And you go with me over there and you'll find out. We talk about each other where each other can hear us, amen. But I'll tell you, I love Brother Larry Brown. And let me tell you what I love about him. Several things. Number one, I know as long as he's alive, I won't be the ugliest man ever preached. But no, really what I really love about Brother Brown is he loves people. And I'm afraid a lot of times preachers have got their nose so far in other worlds where they lose touch with common people. And Brother Brown's not done that. Number two, first time I met Brother Brown, his church wasn't as large as it is now. And the bigger his church gets, the more humble Brother Larry gets. Success hadn't made a monster out of him. And there are some people, buddy, it made a monster out of them. And Brother Brown is a humble man, and I say that respectfully. And I appreciate him, and I love him. But now I'm glad he's gone, and I'm glad I'm here. And no, I don't have a college, and I don't have books and tapes. I got a wife and two kids. You remember old Brother Billy Kelly used to say, all right in the back, folks, I've got some records and tapes for sale. And he said, I'd love to give them to you, but the president of the company won't allow it. And my wife's president, amen. But I'm so glad. I love your preacher. I love Brother Scott. I appreciate his knowledge of the word. And I'll tell you, Brother Brown or Brother Joe Arthur or anybody could never preach anything here that your pastor hadn't already preached. And I mean discovered the depths of it. And he's a wonderful Bible preacher. And our churches all over America don't have one of them. Our churches all over America don't have a Bible preacher. They ain't never heard a Bible preacher. And you have one. Got a good family too. We're praying for his wife's salvation tonight. I'm just kidding. But we praise the Lord. I love her dad, Brother Marin. And she comes from a great family. Good to have my father-in-law with me tonight. I've been married to his oldest daughter now 23 years. And we've had a wonderful time being in the family. We've never had a cross word. He pastors a good church over in Yakinville. And I'm glad serving the Lord. Man, you can enjoy yourself. There's a group of Baptists around. They've never really said this with their mouth, but I think they have a philosophy. The sadder you look, the more the power of God you got on you. And I believe the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it's good tonight to be in the house of God. Mark chapter number 5, I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 25 and read down through verse number 34. I love Mark chapter number 5. It's one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. It shows Jesus Christ and what he does the best, and that is performing miracles. God is at his best when he's doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And when Jesus said, all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth, he really meant it. And nowhere in the Bible do we get such a glimpse of the awesome power of our Savior like we do in Mark chapter number 5. The chapter begins with Jesus casting these devils and these demonic forces out of this wild man. And what I love about the wild man, when the devil moved out and Jesus moved in, he put his clothes on, he was in his right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I'm glad a day in our life when hell moves out and heaven moves in, it makes a difference in our life. And Jesus demonstrates in Mark 5 that he and he alone has the power to set a man free. Well, he is leaving this miracle of casting out the demons, and a man by the name of Jairus approaches him on behalf of his daughter and says, I need you to go to my house. My daughter is at the point of death. Aren't you glad tonight the Lord makes house calls? Aren't you glad tonight the Lord's always in the right place? Aren't you glad tonight the Lord's always able and accessible? And aren't you glad tonight that the Lord is never too busy to stop and help somebody that's in need? And so he goes with Jairus toward Jairus' house to fix his daughter. You find in the last part of the chapter, not only are demons are no big deal, but death is no big deal. He not only has the power to make the demons flee, but he has the power to raise a little 12-year-old girl up from the jaws of death. He is not only the one who has the power over the devil, over hell, but he has power over death, hell, and the grave. And so he's on his way now from one miracle to another miracle. That's just like Jesus. Man, I'm glad while on others he was calling, I'm glad he didn't pass me by. And though millions have come, there's still room for one. He's still in the setting free business tonight. And so while he's leaving one miracle to go perform another miracle, we pick up our text tonight in verse 25. While he's leaving one miracle on his way to do another miracle, he has time to stop and perform another miracle. I'm telling you, you can hook him up wrong. And he's always in the right place. And he's always in the ready mode. God wants to save you more than you want to be saved. If anybody in this world dies and goes to hell, it won't be God's fault. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's never too busy. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. And so while he's leaving one miracle on his way to perform another miracle, he's not too busy to stop and perform another miracle. And I'm getting blessed in the introduction. And so this woman with this issue of blood approaches Jesus on his way to do another miracle. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. Begin reading in verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Does that sound like anybody you knew before they came to the Lord? That's exactly our condition before salvation. We tried it all, but instead of getting better, we got worse. But I want you to know this business is about to pick up. For the Bible said in verse number 27, when she had heard of happy day. When she heard of Jesus, happy day. And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, if I may touch, but his clothes, I shall be whole. And 30 days after she touched him, after she met the approval of the presbytery, or as them mountain preachers say, the presbytery. No, it wasn't 30 days, it wasn't 90 days, and nobody had to vote on it. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it. Oh my, felt it in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about on the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, watch this now, knowing she not only felt it, but she knew it. And may I say, the only kind of healing and deliverance and salvation and victory that's proclamated in this Bible is knowing. Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her in verse 34, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And I want to preach tonight on this, I call it the middle miracle. While Jesus is leaving one miracle to perform another miracle, he's not too busy to stop and do another miracle. And I want to preach tonight on this middle miracle on this subject. Yes, you can touch Jesus. Not only can Jesus touch you tonight, but I'm glad by faith you can touch Jesus. That's what that woman said. She said, if I could just touch some of his clothes, I believe I can be made whole. And aren't you glad the Bible says we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity? Yes, you can touch Jesus. Mark 5 not only proves to us he is a powerful Savior, it not only proves to us he is a precious Savior, but it proves to us tonight that he is a personal Savior. Because I want to tell you something, he's never too busy. And he's always in the right place. And you know something else? You can't get lost in a crowd. There may be thousands thronging Jesus, but he realizes and senses and responds to the individual. I'm glad the Bible is true where it says, for God so loved the world. I'm glad the Bible is true where it said he loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, I like the way the Apostle Paul put it to the church at Galatia. He not only loved the world, he not only loved the church, but he loved me and gave himself for me. I'm glad he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I'm glad he is the Savior of Israel. And I am glad he is the head and the chief cornerstone of the church. But David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He's a personal Savior tonight. He responds to the individual. You can touch him tonight. You won't get lost in a crowd. He's a personal Savior. And he meets our need on an individual basis. From these verses tonight, let me give you some things about this woman who illustrates we can touch Jesus. Look in verse 25 and 26, if you will, at her disease.
And I mean by that, here is the reason why she wanted to touch him. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? She wanted to touch Jesus because of her disease. She had a reason to touch him. She had a cause to touch him. She had something driving her to the point where she said, I need to touch Jesus. And you say, what was it, preacher? She had a problem. And she had a bad problem. She had an internal problem. She had seemingly an unfixable problem. And she had a problem that she could not help herself, and it didn't look like anybody else could. But I'm glad for that day in your life when you realize you have a need, when you realize you have a problem, and the preacher can't help you, and your family can't help you, and you can't even help yourself. Aren't you glad there's a Savior that's walking down Miracle Boulevard that can help and touch and deliver and heal and save when nobody else can heal or deliver or save? I believe these physical maladies in the Bible are a picture of our spiritual condition. I believe when the Bible talks about that blind man, that's what we were before we got saved. We were blind to the things of God. That leprous man that was defiled and unclean, we were unclean and defiled before God. I believe this woman in Mark 5 with this physical malady is a picture of a sinner who has an internal problem. Probably if you looked at that lady, she wasn't crippled, she wasn't blind, she wasn't halt. She had an internal problem. And may I say to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the problem that men and women and boys and girls have tonight is an internal problem. It's on the inside. It's down in that old black, wicked heart and that dead spirit and that depraved will that can only be resurrected by the resurrection and the life. Notice what the King James Bible says in verse 25. This woman had this issue of blood. And that little word issue in the Strong's Concordance means a loss or a flowing of blood. Now, how many believe the Bible means what it says? The Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so if she's losing blood, continually losing blood, she is losing her life. May I say this about this woman in this text? Every second that ticks off the clock, every day that falls off of the calendar, she is not gaining ground, she is losing ground. Every day of her life, she is closer to hell than she was the day before. And may I say this tonight humbly, ladies and gentlemen, that man's not climbing a ladder of success, trying to obtain the position of God. No, he's on a bobslide on his way to hell. And every second that ticks off the clock, every day that falls off the calendar, man's not closer to God. He's not closer to life. He's not closer to heaven. He's going farther and farther and farther till he drops off into hell. And she didn't have this problem one day. She didn't have this problem 2 days. Our Bible says she had this problem for 12 years. For 12 years, every day of her life, she's losing ground. Notice what this sickness or this disease cost this woman in verse number 27. Verse number 26, the Bible said she had suffered many things. And may I remind you tonight, sin causes suffering in your life and in mine. I remember that song that's in the church hymnal, Sin is to Blame. You see Adam plowing that field as the sweat comes down his brow. Sin is the blame. When you see them standing over the grave of their son, sin is the blame. As Cain walks like a beggar man down the streets of rebellion, sin is the blame. And may I remind you tonight, this time of year, when everybody has their mind on the cross, did you know sin is the blame? It was not the Roman government. It was not the Roman soldiers. It wasn't the crown and the three rusty nails. It was your sins and mine. Sin is the blame. blame. And when you see the condition this world's in tonight, sin is the blame. It causes suffering. It causes agony. It causes pain. My Bible tells me the way of a transgressor's heart. I told our people the other night, I said, if you can't say something good about going to church and serving God, shut up. Because I'm tired of our young people sitting around listening to the Baptist whine. I love a good testimony meeting, but I despise a testimony meeting. How hard it is to be saved. Now, hard it is to live for God. Now, oh, hush. I know there's burdens, I know there's troubles, and I know there's valleys. But I'm here to tell you, glory to God, my worst day as a child of God is better than the best day I ever had before I got saved. My Bible tells me the way of a transgressor's heart, but Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. And the reason why his yoke is easy and his burden's light, he's carrying the heaviest ten of the load. Living for the devil and sin and rebellion causes suffering. Notice the description of this suffering in our text tonight. The Bible said in verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians. Boy, I saw this the other day. She had suffered at the hands of people who claimed they could help her. In fact, the false and the fake and the fickle and the phony cures were worse than her disease. She suffered more at the hands of people who said they could help her than she did her original problem. And brother, I have never preached to a society that's been deceived and lied to any more than the one I'm preaching to tonight, because everybody claims to have the cure. Everybody claims to have the answer. But I want to tell you, till you come to Jesus and touch his garments, you don't get better till you meet the one who is better than the best, higher than the highest, greater than the greatest. And she spent every time a new doctor come to town with a new remedy, she tried. You know what she found out? They were just after her money. Man, everywhere I go, there's a cure for everything. Man, when I was battling my disease before I had the surgery, man, I was told everything. Drink this, eat this, drink this, buy this. One fellow even said, smoke dope. I said, I can't do that. I'm a preacher. One guy said, go up in the mountains and get your little homebrew. I said, Brother Wade's done drunk it all. Say amen right there. I mean, brother, I've never seen somebody. And turn on the TV. Man, here's a guy that says, you can rub this on your belly and you lose weight. Rub it on your head and you grow hair. I had a friend of mine a while back, spent over $100 on stuff to make his hair grow back, and when it dawned on him, he bought it from a bald-headed feller. I was at a restaurant a while back just having me a good meal. This big old Lincoln pulled up and it had a big old sign on the side of it. Herbalife, lose weight fast. Ask me how. And some that feller got out of that truck and glory to God, his Herbalife hadn't done him no good. Son, that man was so big, if you was to give him a Malcolm X t-shirt, bless God, a helicopter were trying to land on it. Now, I'm not knocking the product, but it didn't help that man a bit. Brother, every time you turn, there's a new gadget, there's a new cure, and I want to tell you, has it dawned on you? They're probably in it for the money. Son, this woman had been lied to, about like the devil tried to lie to you and me. Try religion, it didn't work. Try sex without marriage, it didn't work. Try alcohol, try drugs, try this, taste this, buy this, experience this. And there's people sitting here tonight, you swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. If the devil named it, you tried it, and it cost you. It scarred your conscience, it scarred your life, it even scarred your body, but it didn't get you closer to God. It didn't break the chains of sin. It didn't bring the peace of God. You just got deeper and deeper and farther and farther. But I'm glad, bless God, there's somebody that's walking down Miracle Boulevard who's not a fake and he's not a phony, and his blood is good and his salvation's good and his prescription's good. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is still right for what's wrong in people's lives. She suffered at the hands of people who said they could help her the most. And brother, by the time she comes to Jesus in this text, she's spent. She suffered. She's penniless. She's friendless. She's helpless. She's hopeless. And she's about a breath away from walking off into eternity. That's her disease. Sound like anybody you knew? For Jesus got a hold of you. There's people sitting here tonight, you tried it all. You've been there and done that. But I want to tell you the answer. The answer is not in drugs. Young people, the answer is not in alcohol, beer and wine, and premarital sex. The answer is not in material thing. The answer is not in the things of the flesh. Hollywood doesn't have the answer. Rock and roll music doesn't have the answer. Education without God does not have the answer. Moral turnaround without genuine conversion doesn't have the answer. And religion without the Holy Ghost and the glory and the blood does not have the answer. Jesus said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I want to tell you, Jesus is still right for what's wrong in men's lives. Her disease. She had it for 12 years. Spent all she had trying to get better. But yet she grew worse. Oh, but business is about to pick up. Number two, notice her desire. Look in verse number 27. When she had heard of Jesus. Now, I don't want to read into the Bible what's not there. But when I get to heaven, I want to ask her, honey, what did you hear about him that was so good to make you want to know him? I don't believe she heard this. Don't come down to our church, bless God, the preacher preaches to 12 o'clock or past that. I don't believe she heard, don't come down to our church, bless God, we got hypocrites in it. You know what amazes me? You go to Walmart with hypocrites. Why can't you go to church with some of them? And the next time you're out witnessing and somebody says, I can't go to y'all's church because y'all got hypocrites over there, just smile and say, come on, baby, we'll slide over and make room for one more. She didn't hear about all the gossip in the church. She didn't hear somebody whine and gripe and complain. She had heard of Jesus. And I don't know what all she heard, but glory to God, whatever it was so good. Amen. It made her want to, it made her want to know him. Faith cometh by hearing. I believe that's in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whatever she heard created faith in her. Faith created a hunger in her. Faith created a desire in her. And whatever she heard was so good, it created an overwhelming desire. It didn't matter the crowd. It didn't matter the critics. It didn't matter her condition. She said, blessed be the day when you heard, and what you heard made you hungry, made you thirsty, and you said, I will arise and go to Jesus. Thank God for that overwhelming desire created when you hear of Jesus. And here's her desire. She said, if I can just touch. She said, I know I'm so unworthy, low down, I can't look in his face. She said, if I can just, come in there behind him. Matthew chapter 9, the parallel reading of this miracle, the Bible uses this phrase. She said, if I may touch the hem. The hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Hem. Word study time. What does the word hem in Matthew 9 mean? I looked it up. And it means a flowing train.
the equivalent of a bridal gown, a train of glory and splendor. Well, it ran me back to Isaiah 6, where he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train and his glory that flowed filled the temple. That ran me back to the book of Malachi in chapter number 4, where it said, the Son of Righteousness, and I know who that is, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, shall arise with healing in his wings. And that word wings is akin to the word train, which is akin to the word garment, which is akin to the word him. Jesus didn't have wings like a bird when he came, but everywhere he went, he had glory tagging along behind him. He had splendor tagging along behind him. He had glory and sovereignty. She said, "Woo!" You say, preacher, why did she say him? Him. I believe she done heard somebody read out of that Old Testament that there's somebody that's going to come. And everywhere he goes, he brings glory with him and splendor with him. And she said, dear God, if I can just reach through that crowd and touch a little bit of that flowing train of glory, I can be healed. Thank God, aren't you glad one day the God of glory came to where we were and he had splendor and majesty and glory, and I touched it and it touched me and it did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Him, if I can touch his flowing glory. Hallelujah. Now you ladies help me out. A him. The him. What in the world is the him? Well, you don't cut the material out and then put the hem in it. You don't put the hem in it and then put the sleeves in it. You ladies that know anything about sewing, most ladies don't know nothing now but the mall. But that's hem is the finishing touch. You don't put the hem in till it's finished. Isaiah said there's one a coming who's adorned with the garments of salvation, and they were woven and sewn and hemmed at bloody Calvary when Jesus cried, it is finished, brother. You know why you're saved tonight? Because by faith you touch the finished work of Calvary. A hem, to get a hem, one side of the material has to be turned up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The finished work of the uplifted. But wait a minute. It's got to do more than be hemmed up. It's got to be wounded. It's got to be pierced, afflicted, within and without. You know what saved me tonight? Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And at Calvary, they pierced him and lifted him up. And God finished it, the garments of salvation. But wait a minute. It's got to be turned up. It's got to be pierced. It's got to be wounded. But if it's going to stay hemmed, yeah, boy, there's got to be an unseen thread. A cord running through it. Can I ask you a question? How can I ever be lost when I'm hemmed in? I'm not hanging on, I'm hemmed in.
I want to tell you, flowing from the throne of God is a scarlet cord of redemption, and it weaves the body of Christ into the garments of Christ. I'm in tonight because of Calvary and his finished work. I'm glad one day by faith I touched the glory of the finished work of Calvary, and God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. No wonder she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Well, glory. Her disease, her desire. Number three, look in verse number 29. Her deliverance. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried. Straightway. You know what that means in Greek? Johnny on the spot, whammo bammo, right now, baby. The Bible teaches progressional sanctification, but it does not teach progressional salvation. You're not saved a little bit today and a little bit more here. Can I lay something real deep on you? Either you is or you ain't. Either you going or you gonna get left. Let me illustrate it. I don't play golf. I'm a real man. And I'm definitely not into tennis. You say, is playing golf a sin? If you play the way I tried one time, it's abomination in the sight of God. So I'm into the shooting sports. Anybody that would spend $400 on a big Bertha club and not $2,100 for a good Weatherby double barrel, you need to see a psychiatrist. You're a cripple too high for crutches. This meeting has just went to pot, ain't it? But let's say if I had two hogs and it came hog killing time, and I get a little 22 long rifle. It shoots a 40 grain piece of lead at about 975 feet per second. And I put it behind old Porky's ear, pop, and Porky would die. Well, let's say that other hog, I took my 300 Win Mag. I call it my ATT gun. I'll reach out and touch someone. I shoot 150 grain ballistic tip at 3,275 feet per second. Honey, it body slams them. Boom. And I put that up to little Porky's ear and pull the trigger. Porky wouldn't have no ear. You could immediately have brains and eggs. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'll do better next night. She's turning green on me, boys. Y'all pray for me. Now watch this. If I shoot one little Porky behind the ear with a 22, and I blow one's head off with a 300 mag, which one's the deadest? There ain't a such thing as dead and dead, more dead and really dead. And I've heard people say, all day right now, that little boy's really saved. Really? Can I lay something on you, goober? Everybody that's really saved is really saved. There ain't no saved and really saved and sure enough saved. Either you is or you ain't. So now I want to tell you, as soon as that woman touched Jesus, whammo bammo, Johnny on the spot, right then and there, she got it. And she knew it. And blessed be the Lamb of God, in spite of dead Baptists, she felt it. Well, I don't believe in all that emotionalism. Well, I do. Well, I don't believe in all that feeling stuff. Well, I do. I don't base it on feeling. I base it on faith. Well, I'm glad every once in a while my feeling catches up with my faith. I mean, my position is something. I'm seated together in heavenly places. And every once in a while my condition catches up with my position and we have a time. You shall. What do you mean she fell? Let me ask you a question. If you had had a disease for 12 years, every day, for 12 years,
And all of a sudden one day, whew, you ain't got it no more. Hey, she didn't have to say, y'all think I'm in? Y'all think I got it? Oh, no. She said, I got her, boys. I felt it. I felt it. I felt it in my body. Something happened to me. I can't explain it and know all the details, but it's not. Woo! But it's different now. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Felt it. She knew it. Now, let me ask you this. What could cause such an immediate deliverance? Word study time. Jesus, the Bible said, knew that virtue had gone out of him. Now, what does virtue mean? You say holiness and purity. Well, it does in some passages. But the particular Greek word used in this text, and the reason why I know it, I can't read Greek, but I can read James W. Strong. I got me a concordance. And I don't have a crude nor a young. I got me a strong. Man, if you ain't got you a good strong, you're handicapped. And so go home tonight, look up the word virtue, find that little number beside of it in this passage, trace it to the back of the lexicon, and you'll find the Greek word translated virtue in this passage is dunamis, which means power. Not just power, but explosive power. Dynamite power. From that word is where we get our English word, dynamite. Dynamite power. He knew that dunamis, dynamite, explosive power. An explosion went off. And you'll never believe that same word is translated in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power, dunamis, dynamite. You know what happened to her? The dynamite power of the gospel went off in her and God blowed it out. He dynamited it out. An explosion went off. Woo! Praise God. Amen. That double amen then. That splendor. That expressive glory, that sovereignty and omnipotence and majestic presence came by and she touched it. Bam! And dynamite. Oh boy. You remember that night or that day you went to church just to shut your mama up or to shut your wife up or to finally appease your neighbor? So he'd quit inviting you. And you said, to get everybody off my case, I'll go. But I ain't going to listen. And I ain't going to pay attention. And I ain't going to get nothing out of it. And as soon as it's over, I'm going to run out there and smoke me a cigarette. So in you came, like a rude, crude dude in a bad mood. You didn't enjoy the singing. You didn't enjoy the preaching. You was hunting, fishing, playing golf, chasing women, whatever you're doing in your mind to get your mind off the preacher. And you just couldn't hardly wait to bust out of there and smoke you one. But about that time, the preacher, or should I back up and say, the Holy Ghost preacher, lit a stick, a dynamite. Slid it under your pew. Bam! Woo! Rich man, get my Bible. I need it some more. Hey! Oh, you said, I'll go to that church, but I'm not going to get down there and wallow around like a holy roller and cry with them kids and them old women. I'm the dude. I'm the man. I got some pride. I ain't going to wallow down there with them holy rollers. But you waited till that stick of dynamite went off and an explosion went off. And you did what you said you'd never do. You walked down that aisle right in front of all them people, wallowed around like a holy roller, and got up, bless God, crying and a sowing snot, saying, praise God, God saved me. You know what happened? You didn't get religion. You didn't turn over a new leaf. You didn't shake the preacher's hand. Bless God, you met dynamite. Dynamite went off. Power went off. Woo-hoo. Her deliverance. Bam. Jesus. He felt that explosion. Not only did she know it, he knew it. Not only did she feel it, he felt it. Not only did she like it, he liked it. Not only was she glad, he was glad. You know what he could have done? He could have said, get that woman away from me. I have an emergency here. I have a weeping father who's concerned about the daughter. And he's already told him she's at the point of death. It's an emergency. Ma'am, I may pass through here another time or two, but right now I'm too busy. Don't throng me like this. I'm tired. I've already cast the demons out of this wild man. Now I got to go over and conquer old man death. I don't have time for you, ma'am. I'll see you. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. You know what? It didn't bother him one bit to stop and let that woman touch him because he knew he had dynamite power. Because Jesus knew that same power that pulled them demons out of that wild man, and that same power that would later on raise that damsel up by the hand was the same power that could get in that woman's soul and in her body and, praise God, run out what the devil put in. I want to tell you, God's got confidence in his mighty power. Hallelujah. He's willing and ready and able to save. Her disease, her desire, her deliverance. I love this. Look in verse number 30 and 31. Notice her declaration. I love this. Jesus stopped and said, whoa, hey, I felt power go out of me, authority go out of me. Who touched me? And those disciples, you know, sometimes I believe they were Baptist. Independent Baptist. Because they had to question nearly everything the Lord did. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, sometimes they were sarcastic. That's how I know they must have been Baptists. They said, I believe they were sarcastic about it. Jesus, do you see this throng of people and you ask us who touches you? Can I just tell you something tonight? When the Lord asks questions, he ain't hunting information. You say, well, if the Lord asks a question, what's he doing? He's not hunting information. He knows the end before the beginning ever gets cranked up. He knew who touched him because the very next verse said he looked round about to see her. Well, why did he ask? Listen, when the Lord asks questions, he's not hunting information. He's looking for an opportunity to do business with an honest heart. Ain't we having a time? First question God asked, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. He walked right to the garden where he was. He wanted Adam to say, I'm over here. I'm over here behind this tree because I've disobeyed. First time somebody asked Jacob, what's your name? He said, Esau, and lied like a dog. And finally, God hemmed him up one night by the banks of Peniel. And God said, I'm going to give you one more chance, Bubba, to get this thing right. What's your name? And he said, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. And when he finally admitted who he was, God made him who God wanted him to be.
When he said, Simon Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me three times? He knew whether Simon loved him or not. He wanted Simon to search his own soul. He wants you to be honest. And when you get honest with God, you can get your miracle. Who touched me? And that woman, I love this. Luke chapter number 8, the parallel reading of this miracle. It says, when she realized, or when she knew, she was no longer hid. When it dawned on her, you can't get lost in a crowd. Time out. Time out. Glory to God. I done broke the first rule of homiletics. Don't lose yourself in your delivery. Too late, done been there and done that. My homiletical instructor said, don't preach beyond yourself. I said, if I don't get beyond me, there ain't gonna be no preaching. Hey, listen to me tonight. This thing's real, glory to God. Woo, it's real tonight. It's real tonight. When she realized she couldn't get lost in the crowd. Let me ask you something. If he sees every sparrow that falls, don't you think he hears and sees every sinner?
Yeah. Oh, tell it, Joe. Yes.
Amen. Glory. Yeah. When she realized she was no longer hid, she feared and trembled. Amen. And fell down before him. And I love Luke 8, the parallel reading of this miracle. It says, and she declared before him and all the people. Amen. Listen to this phrase. For what cause she hath done this thing. Amen. That word cause is the same word as here's the reason why. Amen. Can you see it? There stands Jesus. All the people thronging around him. There's that little woman at his feet. And she stands up and says, Jesus, I need to tell you. Amen. And while I'm telling you, I want to tell everybody else. Here's why I've done this thing. I know some of you thought I was rude while ago and I moved you out of the way so I could get to Jesus. But you see, I ain't been well one day for 12 long years. And I've hurt and suffered every day for 12 years. And I've spent every God blessed thing I got on all kind of fake and phony and fickle remedies. And I didn't get a bit better. I got worse. She said, but I heard about this man. I heard he's right for whatever's wrong in your life. And I heard that he has no respect of persons. Glory, 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 glory. And I heard he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I heard him say he's a friend of sinners. And he eats with sinners. And he receives sinners. And he goes home with sinners. I heard about what he could do. And she said, I remember what that old time prophet said, that when he came, he'd have that flowing glory in his garments. And she said, so this is why. I was sick. I didn't have nobody else to turn to. And I had a brief window of opportunity. And here's why I done it. And she said, I just won't tell you. It worked too. You read Luke 8. It said she declared before him and all the people for what cause she had done this thing, and that she was made whole of her plague. She stood up and said, I got something to say. I want to say tonight by faith, if you've ever touched his flowing glory, you got something to say. There's a reason. There's a cause. That cause is Jesus saved. You got some lost loved ones in your family that thinks you are a religious crackpot. They didn't want you to smoke dope and raise hell and live like the devil. They wanted you to get just enough religion so you'd quit embarrassing the family. And they wanted you to get into church so they'd have some place to have your funeral. But this one ain't the one they had in mind.
And now you done went and got too much religion. Now your brain's fried. Party pooper, joy kill. You ain't fun no more. Your holy roller. Goody two shoe. And every time you go to the family reunion, there they go, there they go, there they go. You got neighbors every time you leave for church. There they go, there they go. Yeah. One of these days, Jesus is coming, and they're really going to say, there they go. I like preaching to you. Will you go with me everywhere I go? I've been some places, bless God, I couldn't buy an amen. Did you come here, Larry Brown? Did you come here, Larry Brown, this week? You didn't miss nothing. God bless you, my brother. Woo! And they say, I don't understand him. Just flops that old Bible around all the time, go to church all the time, go to revival all the time, pay their tithes all the time. Then ride down the radio, listen to a song, and ride down the radio, listen to a song. Ride down the road, listen to the radio. Even Larry wouldn't even done anything that bad. I don't know. And they go to cry, they go to church, they cry, and they laugh and cry at the same time. I believe they're brainwashed. No, you're just blood washed. They think, buddy, you in some kind of cult getting ready to sip on some pink lemonade. I'm not in a cult. I'm in the church of the living God, and I'm not looking for a hellbot comet. I'm looking for a glory cloud. And they're wondering, what's wrong with you? Why does he act like that? You know what? That gives you a reason to clear you off a piece of real estate and say, I got something to say. Here's why I go to church. Here's why I read my Bible. Here's why I laugh and cry and sing and shout. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He did for me what I couldn't do for myself. Hallelujah. That's why. That's why. That's why. Amen. Her disease, her desire, her deliverance, her declaration. Then I close the last part of this, verse 33, 34. Notice her delight. I love this. Who touched me? She said, Jesus, it was me, and here's why. And Jesus looked at, I love Luke 8, the parallel reading, and he said, be a good comfort. He says in Matthew, I mean, Mark 5, our text, he said, daughter. Now you say, what's so significant about him calling her daughter? He never called nobody else that. He talked about the daughters of Jerusalem, but he didn't single one out. When Jesus addressed women in the Bible, he called them woman. That's what he called his mother. Woman! And the only person in the Bible that Jesus ever looked into their eyes and called them daughter is here. Now, if that's the only person, and out of all the thousands he met, if that's the only person he called daughter face to face, there's got to be a reason. You want to hear the reason? Go back to the beginning of the story. He's just cast the devils out of this man. And as he turns away, there stands a father who says, Jesus, I got a daughter. Have you ever noticed how old she was? She's 12 years old. That's how long that woman's been sick. That woman's been sick for every year that girl's been alive. She's been sick 12 years. That girl is 12 years old. From the day that little girl was born, that woman got sick. 12 and 12. And he said, I got a daughter. 12. Needs you real bad. You got to come quick. In verse 25 of Mark 5, verse 24 of Mark 5 said, and Jesus went with him. Brother, will you help me out a little bit? Will you help me out a little bit? Come up here. Will you help me out a little bit? So Jesus and Jairus go together toward Jairus' house. Well, they've created such a stir. They're coming from everywhere, man. They're being thronged from everywhere. And while they're on their way, Here comes this woman. Mm-hmm. Interrupts the whole thing.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to read into the Bible what's not there, but I cannot imagine Jairus appreciating all this. Because he's just told the Lord, we got to go. She's at the point of death. That means she's going to die any minute. And here are the crowds so thick they can't even get through it. Now they got to stop while he deals with this old dirty, filthy woman. I can see Jairus. We don't got time for this. Come on, man. Y'all leave him alone. My daughter. And about that time, Jairus hears Jesus tell that woman, daughter! Jairus said, what did he just say? Daughter? Oh my. He knows how I feel. And you know, hallelujah. He loved that daughter. Surely he loves mine. If he's got time for that daughter. Woo! He's got time for mine. You know, if he can help that daughter, he can help mine. Daughter. He's got a daughter too. He wasn't too late for that daughter. He won't be too late for my daughter. That daughter wasn't beyond his reach. My daughter's not beyond his reach. I believe he said, take your time and work on all the daughters you want to. You say, what's that got to do with us? Watch this. You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody here tonight feels like you have a son or a daughter that's not saved. You're not their judge, but just in your heart, by the way they live or whatever, you just feel like you got a son or a daughter that needs to be saved. Now let me ask you this. I want you to raise your hand this time. Anybody here tonight feels like in your heart, to the best of your knowledge and according to their testimony, you have a son or a daughter that has been saved by God's grace? Will you hold it up real high? Keep it up. Keep it up. For those of you who a while ago I asked, did you have a son or a daughter that wasn't saved? I want you to look at these people that's got their hands up. I just want to tell you something. God don't love this man right here any more than he loves you. And this man right here ain't no more special to God than you. And God would just soon save your son or your daughter as he is. For it is no secret what God can do, because what he's done for one daughter, he'll do for another daughter. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Jairus comes to him, said, let's go to my house, my daughter. While he's on his way to help the daughter, he gets stopped by this daughter. And as soon as he heals this daughter of her plague, here comes a messenger from his house. Says, too late. Forget it. She's dead. It's over. It's done. Don't trouble the master anymore. I don't believe that tore Jairus' nerves up one bit. I believe he just looked and said, oh, you don't know. I got the daughter man with me, buddy. I'll tell you what Jesus said, not to that man with that bad news, but what he said to Jairus, he said, don't you pay attention to that. Be not afraid. Only believe. Her delight, she got called daughter. Signifying that, oh my, I know I done went and preached too long, but I got a case of the Cain Hippich. I got something to say. Glory! She got called daughter, signifying she got brought into the family. You see, when that demonic man, that wild man got tamed, the devil moved out, Jesus moved in. And when Jesus moved in, signifying with this woman with this issue of blood, she got saved. She got passed from death unto life. Spiritually. But then he walked on down the road to Jairus' domain. Hallelujah. And showed us another resurrection physically and eternally. And because he's walking down Miracle Boulevard, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Not only can I know the joy of having a spiritual resurrection from the graveyard of sin, but thank God when Jesus comes, I'm coming up out of the grave, because all power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Yes, you can touch Jesus. I got to quit. I don't guess I got to, but I need to. I'm wore out. But watch this, and I'm done. That woman touched Jesus for herself. And Jairus touched Jesus for somebody else. And I don't care if you're the one tonight who has the need or you love the one who has the need. Yes. 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 You can touch Jesus. The same God that reached down and saved his daughter. He's the same God that reached down and saved my daughter. And he's the same God that can reach down and save your daughter. Amen. Same God that reached down and saved your mother's son. And the same God that reached down and saved your son. Glory. Is the same God that reached down and saved my son. And it's the same God that can reach down and save your son. I can't sing a lick, but a singing spell's then broke out on me. It is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Let's stand together, our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. We love you tonight. Lord, I'm glad what you've done for one daughter, you can do for another daughter. And I'm glad tonight, Lord, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, we can touch you. You can touch us. Lord, there may be someone in this room tonight who has a personal need. Yes, they can touch Jesus. Lord, there may be someone here tonight who has a friend or a loved one that needs Christ, that needs a miracle, that needs something from God, and they can touch you for them. Lord, I'm glad one day somebody touched heaven for me. Thank you, Jesus. Move in our midst in power and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Pastor, please come. Come with a song tonight, the musicians, the song leader, and